Welcome, everybody, to Paranormal Roundtable. I'm your host, Josh Turner, and tonight I have something special for you. The one and only...
Oh, wow, you're saying it now, too?
Okay. Great.
The great one.
He just interrupts...
The extended...
The annoying one is here. And I was going to say Anthony, but Mushu jumped in and...
Well, you said special, and I was like, it has to be me. Who else could he be talking about?
You're pretty special.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, you're special in a very specific way, Tony.
Very specific, yeah, exactly.
I'm so special, I don't even know what you're talking about.
In a very specific way, which is not politically correct to talk about nowadays, but it used to be. That's the kind of special you are. It's okay, buddy, it's okay.
You got your helmet? You ready?
No, my mom won't let me use it.
Oh, my gosh.
She said the strap chokes me.
Oh, my gosh. All right, folks. So, anyway, we got a show tonight. And, obviously, Mushu's in the house, and we got Anthony here. This episode, I kind of saved it back because we have a conference that's coming up. Okay? And we'll talk about that in a second. First thing, let's get the email address out there, joshturner@prtpodcast.com. prtpodcast.com is the website. joshturner@prtpodcast.com. You send me your stories, or if you're my friend on Facebook, send it to me on Facebook. I'm joshturner940 on Instagram. So if you want to follow me, joshturner940 on Instagram. I didn't really do anything cool on there, but whatever. And does anybody do anything cool? They just make pictures of their food or whatever.
No, Instagram. Yeah, Instagram is just for like teenage girls to go on vacation and take pictures. Pretty much all it is.
Yeah. Be teenagers. They could be in their 30s and 40s and still acting like teenagers.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Mentally teenagers, which are teenagers to
mental,
me.
Mental. So and we're on Facebook too. Okay. So if you want to join me on Facebook and you want to be friends on Instagram or Facebook, let me know that you're a listener of the show. Send me a message, because if you don't, then I'm probably not going to approve you because I'm not going to know who you are. So just say, hey, you know, I'm a listener of PRT, and I'll know that who, you know, what's going on, and I'll hook you up and we'll be friends. Okay. That being said, we do have patreon.com/PRT podcast. If you want to donate money to the show to help us keep going, that's always appreciated. And it is, we have a $10 and $20 monthly tier that you can join. And I think what, a 3 and a 5.
Yeah, it goes 3, 5, 10, and 20 tiers. Yeah.
And so, you know, and then we have several groups that we're involved in. Not the least of which, of course, is my group, which is Paranormal Roundtable, the group Paranormal Roundtable. And then we have, I think Tony's got a group. What's your group, Tony? Yeah, exactly. Anyways, Paranormal Roundtable. Your group is called Paranormal Encounters, which you're very neglectful of. People have made mention of that.
Yeah.
But we also have Dogman, Werewolf Discussion, and that's Phil Stern and Della Carter, and I'm an admin in that. And Wolf Turner of PRT fan page was made by Phil Stern. And Chris Clough and Curtis are always in there doing, you know, making memes, and it's funny. Anyway, Paranormal Roundtable Prayer Group, which is Nelly's, and then Paranormal Lounge, which is Nelly's. And then we have North American Dogman Project Region 2, Nick Valente, A Whisper to a Scream, which is Ryan Trembley. Quad Coalition of Sciences, which is also Nick Valente, and then Paranormal Trucker Podcast, which is John King. So, actually, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. North American Dogman Project Region 2 is by my dear friend, D.A. Roberts. He is an author. Now, speaking of authors, we give away a book every week. Is that not correct?
It is.
We drop the link in the group, Paranormal Roundtable group. We drop the link, and you can go on there. It'll say on their official link. And then if you leave a comment, you might be picked to win an autographed book. At least if we have other giveaways going on, you might get something even more. We always throw in a little extra stuff, you know, stickers and keychains, things like that. But sometimes we're giving away merch too. But typically you get an autographed book from one of our author friends, which could be anyone, Lyle Blackburn, Ken Gerhardt, Nick Redfern. Who else do we have? D.A. Roberts, the guy we're just talking about. Kenny Irish. Anyway, any one of those books you might win. So that's the other thing. And so the live stream has been doing really well. And if you're listening to us on one of the podcast
platforms like Spotify, iTunes, yada yada yada.
Yeah, then you're missing out, because the live stream is literally 3 hours. Typically, the typical runtime is 2 to 3 hours, sometimes even longer. And you get a ton of content on there. And we always have a guest, or we'll have somebody, you know, we'll tell stories, whatever, the live stream. And so that's a cool thing to check out. We do it every Tuesday. Now, that's a YouTube exclusive. You're not going to get that from the podcast. This show is for the podcast, but it goes on YouTube also. But the live stream is 8 o'clock Central.
Typically, yeah.
Yeah, typically on YouTube. And it is a YouTube exclusive, folks. So check us out on Tuesdays for that. Now, we also have the address that if you want to send something to us, which a lot of people do, and we've gotten some pretty cool stuff. It's 6001 West Palmer Lane. Palmer is P-A-R-M-E-R. Okay, 6001 West Palmer Lane, Suite 370, PMB 131, Austin, Texas, 78727.
And the mailing address and the important links to most of this stuff is going to be down in the YouTube description of every episode. So if you're watching on YouTube, all you have to do is expand the video description and you'll find useful links to whatever you need to do involving the show, which is another thing that you're just not going to get if you're only listening on a podcast platform. You're just going to have to deal with it or subscribe to the YouTube channel. So there you go.
Yeah. And we are now at 18,000 people on the YouTube channel. Our main Facebook group just hit 7,800. So we are building a listenership and a following, which is, I'm very happy about. I'm proud of it. We're setting goals and we're meeting them, and it's growing.
The paratroopers are growing.
The paratroopers. Yeah. The conference we have in August, okay, and this is the last thing we're going to talk about, and then we'll start telling stories, okay? The conference in August is August 12th and 13th. We will have the link up, right, for the show.
Yep.
Eventbrite, okay, is where you go to get tickets for the conference, the Dogman Cryptid Conference. Eventbrite, and the heading is...
Paranormal Roundtable presents first annual Dogman/Cryptid Conference.
Yeah.
Paris, Tennessee,
which is in the LBL, which I'm hoping that'll be an annual thing, but I don't know if I'll be able to, but we'll see what happens. We'll see how many people show up. We've sold quite a few tickets already, but there's still some left. And the conference is going to have Nick Redfern, Ken Gerhard, Kenny Irish, Elijah Henderson, Barton Nunley, Ron Murphy, Nick Valente, Jody Cook, Bettina Moss, Vault, which is Jay Tucker, and then Steve Stockton, Josh Ninocchio from What Lurks Beneath, and Tony Merkel from The Confessionals, D.A. Roberts. He has a show, too, called Deus Ex Machina, and he's an author, and David Weatherly. And so you're going to have an all-star lineup of people that are going to be there, and so we're looking forward to it. We'll see you there if you buy tickets. Don't forget, Eventbrite. Now, that being said, we have a show tonight, and this show, obviously, you can read, you know, the headline is Dogman, and that's a subject that we've talked about quite a bit, but, you know, I mean, we haven't done a just straight-up Dogman episode in a long time. Typically on the, you get the Paranormal Potluck, or you get the Hernandez Ranch stories, yeah, and we do talk about them a lot on the live stream, but we're doing it now.
Show just focus on it.
Yeah, entirely, this the show know. Is just Dogman encounters.
Going back to the roots.
Yeah, going back to the, just like the old days. So the first story I'm going to talk about, and I think we agreed we were going to talk about the one from Waco, I think that area. This story, I call it Werewolf in Waco. I mean, it happened outside of Waco, like in the early 80s, and it was on the outskirts of town, and it was very rural. But these kids were, they were cousins, and this happened to them, and it really traumatized them. One of them, you know, still works in that area and has lived there his whole life. The other one moved far away. But they were staying at their grandparents' house when they were kids, and this was in the early 80s, and I think they were like, you know, 10 and 12 or something like that. And, you know, like kids, they like to play, and they like to be mischievous. And it was actually two cousins and then a little brother of the guy that told me the story. And then of his cousin, it was his cousin. It was his female cousin and his male cousin. They were brother and sister. Now, we'll start from the beginning. What happened was the little brother of the guy that told me the story was with his the female cousin. And we'll call her Crystal. It sounds close, whatever. So Crystal and his little brother, Joey, okay, they were playing in the backyard. They came running in the house screaming, and they were like, we saw something out of breath, just screaming, freaking out. The backyard didn't have a fence. It was just like, you know, like it was literally like an acre and a half of property. And all it was a double wide trailer. And in the back, there was like a shed. And then there was a garden. Okay. And so they lived not in town. It was in town, but it was like, you know how you live on the outskirts of town and you have neighbors, but they're real spread out. You each have like your own acre lot. I know you've seen that.
Yeah. You're not in the middle of nowhere.
Not in the middle of nowhere, but it's very rural. Either, yeah. Yes. It's very rural. Yeah. It's kind of like living in Thrall.
You're not away from people, but you're not like really close either.
Yeah. Thrall or Thorndale, these little towns around here that that are in Central Texas, these little towns, you might as well be out in the country. But I mean, that's what it was. And he said it was kind of shocking because they did have neighbors, you know, but they were spread out. They each had like an acre lot, you know what I mean? And he said it was in the middle of summer, like, you know, the last couple of weeks of July or something. And so they went inside screaming and crying, and the grandparents tried to get them to calm down because their parents live 3 hours away. So they were like, they're going to have to call their parents to come and get them or whatever, because they live like in San Antonio or something, or the other side of San Antonio. And so he was like, dude, the next day the parents made the trip up there and picked them two up. And they were like, do you want to go? And he's like, me and my cousin, I'll call his cousin Jeremy. So B, I'll call this guy B. B and Jeremy were like, you know, no, we're going to stay. We don't want to go. I don't know what they're freaking out about, but, you know, it's all good. So they wanted to stay because they had a lot of freedom being with their grandparents. He was telling me, he was like, dude, we could do what we want. We could stay up till 2 a.m. and they would let us watch HBO. And, well, I don't think they really knew what they were what they were up to. And he goes, we would just stay up all night playing video games and doing whatever we wanted, reading comic books. It was like heaven. And he said, and for them to leave, something really bad had to have happened. But it didn't dawn on him and his cousin that it could have been real. They thought that they said they saw a monster. Now, one of them was 5 years old, had just turned 5, was not even in kindergarten yet, was going into kindergarten. And the other one was like 6, going on 7. So these are little kids.
Very unbelievable ages. Yes.
And they are like, you know, these two are older and they're like, y'all are stupid, whatever. So they were terrified. They went home and that night they were scared. They wouldn't let them alone. They kept telling them the monster was by the window, and B kept saying, dude, there's something, these kids are flipping out. You know, because my cousin never was a scaredy person, you know, all through her life, she's never been that way. But that story there, ever talk about it to her, he said it still terrifies her. And he still to this day doesn't know exactly what it was they saw. His little brother doesn't remember it. Like his little brother like grew up and forgot about it and was just like, whatever. And he said, yeah, he goes, my little brother doesn't even recall the incident. He just remembers being scared and running from something. And then he had a few weird dreams over the years, like of something hairy chasing him, but he didn't know if it was from that or the dream, whatever. And then his cousin has only talked about it one other time. He said it was at Thanksgiving, and he brought it up, and she was like, I don't want to talk about it. And so when they were in the den afterwards, like she told the story to like 4 or 5 people and then never talked about it again. The story that he heard was just that they were in the back, and they were throwing rocks. There was like a little creek that was dry down. Usually it was dry, but it had been raining. So there was some water down there, like ankle high, and they were throwing rocks into the creek. And they saw something come up to the other side of the creek, and then it began to walk across the creek toward them. They said it was black, and it looked like a wolf. And they ran, and that was it.
See, that's when electronics came and saved us. We wouldn't be out here rumbling in the woods, getting murdered by werewolves.
Oh, yeah. You could stay and rot your brain on PlayStation exactly. 10 or whatever it is.
I don't have to worry about getting murdered by wolves if I get murdered myself first.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now that the children are done making their comments, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Did they specify, or did she remember if it was walking on 2 legs or 4?
It was 2. I mean, okay. They said it looked like it was walking like a man, and it just came, you know, it looked like a man, and it came across the creek. like, you know, and she said it was like a werewolf, you know, and she said that it was a monster. It was a monster. What was weird about this, though, was that the face had like a flesh tone to it, which was weird. That looked, everything looked like a wolf, but like around the eyes and around the face. And she even, now this made me kind of suspicious because she said what she had told B, we'll just give him a name. We'll call him Bert. And Bert, what she told Bert was that it was, you know, how the face of a Halloween mask has the, sometimes they'll have that like human look with the werewolf mask where it'll have the skin. So I asked Bert, I said, is it possible that this thing was like a guy in a mask? I mean, is it possible? And he said, absolutely not. There's no way this was a guy in a mask because what him and his cousin saw was the same thing. And I'll get to that. So I said, okay, I just had to cover my bases and I wasn't trying to, and if you're listening, I wasn't trying to be, you know, I mean, you know, I explained it to you, but he was very adamant that it wasn't a guy in a mask and that this thing was extremely large. And she said that it was like the size of two men. That's what she said, but he never did figure out if it was for the height or the width or what. So anyway, you're dealing with little kids, you know what I mean? They were scared, you know? And so they left, and then the next day it rained really hard. The next day it just rained all day. And then, so it would literally be the day after, that day. Like it was the day that they got picked up, whatever, it was raining. And so the next day, there had been a strong rain and there was water flowing in the, drainage ditch in front of the house. And so they were playing with their BB guns. They had actually got them confiscated because they shot a window out of an old building that was like in the back or whatever.
That's what you're supposed to do with BB guns when exactly. You're a kid.
And it was the property in the back to the back, he said, of them. And it was abandoned that there was when they shot the window out and their grandmother was hanging clothes and she heard it and said, okay, that's it. You know, took the guns away. And so the grandpa was pretty lenient with them, but she said, I'm going to tell on you when you get home, because he would spank them. He would literally get a switch from a tree, you know, and spank him, you know. And
he said, old school punishment.
Yeah, old school punishment.
And you got to pick the switch out yourself.
That's right. And it didn't take long. I mean, he goes, for him to get in trouble, he goes, but it took his grandparents, from what he was telling me, they were not real disciplinarians. So he had to really do something bad. So they did this calculatingly. So they took the BB guns away. So the grandma goes in the back to go to sleep, take a nap, because she's old and needs to go get her rest. You know, she's elderly and she's on medication and stuff. And the grandpa was out doing whatever he was doing. I think he was hauling something. So what do? They sneak into the closet. They grab their BB guns and they start to shoot out the front screen window of the room that they stayed in. And I asked him, I said, well, what were you shooting at? He said, well, we were shooting at bottles and cans that we had set up outside, you know. And it had rained the day before. So this would have been not the very next day after his the other two kids encounter.
Yeah, but 2 days later.
So he said it had rained. So it was wet and everything. And it was kind of drizzly and it was starting to clear up. But he said it was dusk. And you know how in the summertime it gets that, you know what it looks like when it rains in the summer?
Yeah.
And he said that there's a smell in the air about it. Now, if you're hearing from Texas, you know there's like a weird smell of the summer rain has its own unique.
It brings out some, you know, all kinds of, I don't know how to describe it, but it just brings something out from the earth.
Mm-hmm. It's very earthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was this smell, you know, of rain in the air. But then he said, we smelled something terrible. It smelled like a wet dog. And it smelled like pee is the way he described it. So like urine. And he said it was like a wet dog, urine, pee smell, whatever. And he said it was like nasty. It was like, dude, what is that? And like it was trash. And so they were looking out the window and there was literally a lady who had been walking her dog like maybe 5-10 minutes before. So they had stopped shooting because, you know. And I asked him, I said, you were shooting through the screen? He goes, no, well, they have a cat. And he said this cat literally had clawed up they had cats or whatever. They had torn up the screen, whatever.
Barn cats or.
Yeah. And then they had, they were indoor cats, but they had a cat. He said his name was Casper or Sylvester or something. Anyway, it tore it up and they had a little dog that was always yapping and stuff. But for whatever reason, the dog had gone. And I remember the dog's name was Pinto. Pinto had gone to sleep with the grandma. And so he thought it was weird because usually the dog's running around with them playing, you know. But the dog was hiding in the back bedroom. It wasn't making any noise. None of the cats were around. And he said it was weird. There was none of the animals at all. And he said they had a neighbor, the neighbors had a dog that was always running around loose, you know, in the acre over, and the dog would come into their yard, and it was mean. So they were thinking, hey, you know, if that Doberman comes over here, let's shoot it. They were being bad, basically, okay? But they see this thing in the ditch out in front of the house, and it looks like what they said was a very ugly, dirty-looking, wolf-looking animal. That's the only way he could describe it to me, when it was on all fours. And he said they could see it had like this ridge on its back, and it was grayish brown, and it was walking through the ditch in front of the house. And he said they saw it was about 20 yards, you know, it wasn't that far, you know, but they could see where it was at, you know, they could see it kind of come out of the storm drain, you know, like the there was like a culvert right there, like a, where, you know, the driveway from the neighbors, and they came out of it, squeezed out from under there. And they said it was kind of looking around, and they said they saw its head, and they thought, ooh, the head looks weird, like the face, like it had mange on it or something. And he said, dude, his cousin said, I dare you to shoot it. And he was like, I'm not going to do that, dude. And so his cousin was like, yeah, I dare you, man. You're scared. He goes, why don't you do it? So then they said, let's both do it. So then they both shot it with pellet gun on the top of its neck, like its back. And they said it twitched, and it kind of looked around. So then they ducked. And they thought, this weird-looking wolf is looking for us, you know? And they were laughing. So they go to sit up, and they both look, and this thing is running toward them. They said it was hunched over, and it was kind of like on its hind legs, but it was kind of getting down on all fours and then standing up and getting down on all fours. It didn't just come fluidly on hind legs like a man. And they said that the way it was coming toward them.
It was like popping up and down, kind of?
Kind of, yeah. The way he described it, I say it was like kind of loping toward them, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is that a word? I don't know. But anyway, it was going toward them, and so they got terrified. So it got right up to their window real quick. So all they knew what to do was just duck down, because they didn't want to run out of the room and it see them. And they thought, oh my gosh, it's going to come, you know, if we hide, maybe we can hide from it, but it's going to come inside. And so he says, we just sat there. He goes, I don't know why we did. I mean, we should have probably ran out of the room, but he goes, we just sat there on either side of the window. And he goes, we heard this sniffing around, whatever. And he said that it smelled like rotten garbage, and just, it was gross. And he said that, oh yeah, the other thing he said was when it was in the ditch, that it looked like it was like when it was, its head was going up and down, looked like it was expelling something from it, like vomiting.
Yeah.
And he said, dude, I don't know what it was, but this thing, it had like this foam or something on the side of its mouth. And he said that it was a very physical looking thing. But he said it came up to the window, and they were on either side of it, and they were both shaking. And he goes, I just remember staring into my cousin's eyes and going, dude, he was terrified. And I was terrified. And then he goes, dude, I don't know how long it was. It seemed like at least a minute or two, you know, passed. And we're just sitting there. And then finally this thing just poof, sticks his head in through the screen. He goes, first it looks at me, and then it turns and looks at him. And then the next thing you know, this big arm looking, the only way he could describe what should have been the front limb was like a deformed arm came through. And it was like the hand was turned sideways, almost to the point of like unnatural, like it would be broken, you know? And he said they looked down at it, looked at each other, and his little cousin just screamed, his older cousin, at the top of his lungs. And then he like started to kind of strike it with his BB gun or whatever. And that hand, he said it came up so quick and smacked that pellet gun. And all it was one swift movement, and it broke it. Like, boom, it was broken. And then it just kind of went like, you know. And so he said he just began to scream. And so he backed up, and he started to crawl backwards and went up to where he hit the wall, like the closet. And then his grandmother was like, what in tarnation is going on? You know, so she comes down the hallway, and she's like, oh my gosh. And she starts screaming, and this thing backs out and runs. And then the grandfather had just pulled up at that time, and he saw it. So he sat out in his car for a little bit. And they were like, call the police. And the grandma had gone outside to talk to the grandfather, and they came inside, and he's like, we need to call the police. And they're trying to use the phone, and the grandpa unhooks it and goes, no. He's like, the police can't help us with this. They're not going to help us. I'm like, well, we got to tell them. And they're like, no, we didn't tell them the other day when, you know, your cousin saw it, and we're not going to tell them now. Because, you know, trust me on this. I know this situation. So the grandfather was highly agitated. He goes, that thing has been around here in a long time. Where was it? How did this all go down? He said it was in the ditch. Now, this is the thing. The grandmother, she exclaimed, I can't believe it's real. So, like, I guess the grandfather had seen it before, and his grandmother had never believed him or something.
Well, I'm pretty sure, you know, working the land, he probably just had more interaction, like, mm-hmm. opportunity of interaction with it, mm-hmm. where she probably just stayed more inside, being an older woman, probably just stayed around the area of the house. So, she probably didn't, like, see it as much, or maybe just...
Yeah, and so he comes in and says, you know... Hey, I saw this werewolf creature, and she's like, okay, you know, yeah, maybe exactly. she believes it, maybe she don't, you know, I mean.
Maybe she just thinks like, oh, he saw something weird, he's not sure what it is.
Yeah.
Or maybe he didn't really like say a lot about it, just said a couple of things, and was just quiet about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so the grandfather sat them down, and they ate dinner that night. And it was the whole time he had his like 12 gauge, like right there. And he said, my grandpa literally had a 12 gauge and a deer rifle. And they were just right there by us the whole time. And he goes, and me and my cousin, we were trying to eat. And he said, my grandmother was a great cook. You know, we're trying to eat. But the whole time we keep thinking this werewolf's going to come flying through the window and kill us.
Kind of like your last meal in a way.
He said it was terrifying, you know. And so then he said that you know, he couldn't believe that what they had seen. And he told me when he saw this creature, the face around the eyes and all the way to the end of the snout, but by the end of the snout there was fur, but the insides of the face was flesh tone, like a light brown color.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, like, if somebody had, like, a darker off olive skin tone, but, you know, maybe a little bit darker, you know? And he said that's what it looked like. And the inside of the arm looked like it, too. It had hair on the arms, not fur. Like, you would think of, like, a wolf or dog would have fur. And he said and when this thing looked at him, he said its eyes were amber. But his cousin said, because it was more staring at him than it was, you know, the senator's cousin. The cousin said that he thinks that the eyes were two different color. He said it was weird. He goes, he remembers one of them being kind of a greenish color and then and yellowish green. And the other one was just yellow, like an amber color. And so when they talked to their grandfather about it, the grandfather in the middle of dinner says, okay, let's talk about this. You know, he goes, look, I've seen this thing before. This thing is very evil. It's very aggressive. Okay. He's like, he lives down at the bottom of the road down there. And they were like, wait, he, you know? He said they're thinking like what is this? Is he, you know, it's a he? And he says, yeah, he lives down at the bottom of the hill down there. And he usually stays down there. It doesn't come up here very often, but when he does, people's chickens go missing, things happen, pets go missing, and the police know about it. He goes, I think they might even know what it is, but they don't do nothing about it. They just say they can't find it. So anyway, right after dinner, they go and they go and put the dishes in the sink, whatever. And they hear poof up against the back of the trailer. And so they look out the window and they don't see anything. And they turn the back porch light on, whatever. They look around. Nothing. They don't see anything. The next day they go out. There's a huge dent in the side of the siding of the trailer. And there was a ball of what looked like mud and animal feces all kind of rolled together. And it was gross and it smelled really bad. And they were going out to the shed later on that day, the next day, and they look over and right there in the garden, they see this thing like kind of bouncing, his exact words, bouncing toward them, going down the row where the cabbages were. And he's just like, you know, he's running toward them, you know, and he goes, dude, it was like weird. It looked like a guy with wolf legs running towards us with a wolf head. It was just so weird. He goes, the face looked like the big bad wolf or something. And he said, but then when we all ran inside the house, my grandfather grabbed his gun and he said it walked slowly on these weird backward bent legs in the backyard, walked through the fence, not the fence, but there was like a
gate.
No, it's not a fence. It was like there was a gate, but there wasn't a fence. There was like little bricks where they had, I forgot what he called it, like a little flower bed or whatever. And then there was another one with a little flower bed that his grandmother had put that separated the garden from the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked through. He could have gone around it or stepped over it. he opened that little gate and walked through it. Like, almost making a point. Like, look, I can do this. I'm not an animal.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Like showing intelligence, basically.
Yeah. And he said it walked right up to the backyard and then stared at him, like, just stood there. And his grandfather opened the window partway and said, "Get out of here. I'm going to shoot you." And he started talking to it. And then it just got down on all fours and left. And it ran out by the creek. And he said that a couple days go by and they didn't talk about it anymore. I mean, you know, that was it. And they didn't see it again. But he said several years later, before his grandfather died, they were at the VFW hall. And he said that his grandpa was talking. He heard them, they were having a barbecue, and he heard them talking to some of the other VFW members. And he was like talking about this creature and saying, you know, they were talking about it. And he thinks that one of them might have called it a name, like Sam or something like that, old Sam or something. And he goes, "I know I wasn't imagining it. And I know that they were talking about this creature or whatever, you know." And so he thinks that it was possibly somebody, you know. I don't know. It's a weird story. So that is the story that I call Werewolf in Waco, because it happened right outside of Waco. But any questions?
Not really questions, but I'm just kind of like curious about what you think it might be. I think maybe a sick dog, man.
A sick dog, man?
Have you ever, do you know about like lions, when their sons grow up and are able to chase them out, if they're not killed, then they're kind of just like left alone to do their own thing?
Oh, okay.
And they start becoming like very skinny, very sickly looking, and it starts to look like really badly for them. So I was thinking maybe a similar thing for these. This was maybe just like an older pack leader that was just left alone to just die on his own.
Why did they mention it by name? If that's what he heard,
maybe it might be like a name that everybody in the town knows it by. Like if it's like something that's been there for so long that everyone's like, "Oh, that's old Sam." That's the name of the creature, but it might not be an actual person. But
I mean, I don't know that it was a person. I just think
it may not like have like a like it might just be like a name of convenience. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I was just thinking like that might be a possibility of like how disgusting it sounded.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I thought I got traumatized by the first time I killed a bird with my BB gun. I feel bad for these kids.
Yeah, they're doing what kids do when you get a BB gun. You start breaking stuff and shooting things you shouldn't be.
I mean, they're made specifically for little kids to commit vandalism and shoot small helpless animals. I
think it even says it on the box. You know, it says it on the daisy there.
I'm pretty sure it says don't shoot animals, and then it has like little bunny fingers next to it.
And it's got the air quotes over not recommended for children under the ages of 10.
Yeah,
but that's what they're made for.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a weird story, and that's one that I had, you know, that I've pondered it and thought about it and asked as many questions as I could, and that's about all I got. So
it's pretty, like, there's a lot of different, like, things that make it to where, like, it's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, why is it so sickly? Why do they have
it? Well, I don't think it was sickly. It was huge.
Well, yeah, but it's still throwing up its body.
Yeah,
it seems like the face was like, come on, there's like something going on.
There
was
hair, but they said that it looked like skin.
It was losing hair or something. So it was,
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean.
There's a lot of questions for it.
A lot of questions. You know, and it happened, you know.
So. Does it like the name Sam? Did it want to be called something else but was never given the chance?
Anyway, this next one I'm going to go into. This one happened right outside of Kerrville. And these guys, they lived in San Antonio, and they were doing a job right outside of Kerrville. And they were driving, and I think he said they were in a Toyota Scion. And they were driving down the road, and they were, you know, having a couple beers. I know you shouldn't do that. You know, that's not correct, whatever. And it was weird because one of them made a joke like, you know, like, one of them threw the beer can out and says, "Dude, as soon as you're done drinking that, throw it out, because if you get pulled over and you got an open beverage container, you know." And so they're driving along, and one of them said, "Hey, you should throw that out," or whatever. And he goes, "Watch me throw it and hit a he made a joke. Like, it was a joke. And it was so weird because he goes, "Watch me throw it and I'll hit Bigfoot and it'll come chase us." And they're like, "Wouldn't that be scary if something like that happened?" Like, one of them said that. And then a few minutes later, okay, they see this thing walk out in the middle of the road, and it just, as it got out in front of their car, it slowed down, which they thought was just so weird. Like, why would this thing, you know, it was on two legs. They said it just walked out in the middle of the road on two legs. The legs were, I mean, the quintessential dog man looking legs, the backward, you know. And they said that it walked out there and it had this like really thin midsection, then these big shoulders and these skinny arms. And they said that it had these really long pointy ears. And they were like, what the heck is that? And then it kind of moved slowly at the last second and they clipped it. Well, when they hit it, it literally went flying like off to the right, off into the ditch. And their car like began to spin around, and then they went off into a ditch and then back up onto the road. And there was nobody out there. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And they were like, dude, you know, and they were scared because they'd been drinking. And they were like, well, do we call the police? So at first the driver was like, no, we're not calling the police. And so the guy told me the story was in the passenger side. And he said they sat there like talking about it, and in the vehicle, they needed to get out and check the vehicle because they were barely able to drive. It was like going really slow. And he goes, it was like it messed up the transmission or something. He goes, we couldn't go beyond like what seemed like first or second gear. That's what he was telling me. Like it did something, you know, it messed it up. And he said there was steam coming from underneath the hood, you know, whatever, because he goes, the impact was pretty hard. And so he's like, dude, the thing had to have been dead, you know, whatever it was that they hit. Well, a few minutes go by while they're arguing about what to do and if they should call somebody or not, because it's, you know, whatever. So he said, well, we got to call somebody for a ride. So they started trying to call his brother. And the driver tried calling his, I think, mom and dad or something. They were in their 20s. And they couldn't get any service. They were like, dude, what the heck's going on here? The phone would not even. And they said, well, you know, if we just sit here, we're just going to be here till the morning, you know? And so I'm like, well, and there's no cars coming by, you know, at that time there was no vehicles. And he said that they sat there on the side of the road, and it was so weird because that road is usually pretty busy where they were at. And he goes, there was nobody. I mean, of course, it was like a Monday night or something, but he said it was like there was nobody. And so this thing, they look over to the right, is the guy in the back seat says, look at that. And they look over to the right, and this thing is standing there in the ditch. And he said, it's in the ditch, but it's like, you know, down 3 or 4 feet, and it's still about 6 feet tall. He said, this thing had to have been 8, 9 feet tall. That's how big it was. And he said, it towered over our vehicle. And he said that it was just standing there staring at him, and it was like heaving. Its chest was heaving. And they said that it looked like it was bleeding. And they said that it literally took its chest and put its, like, what looked like a clawed hand over its chest and, like, kind of flung what looked like blood, you know. And they said, dude, it was dark, you know. We didn't have a flashlight, but it looked like something wet on its chest. And he was like, dude, it was crazy, you know. He's like, we're all sitting there, and our vehicle will not go
past
like, you know, 15 miles an hour. So we started going that fast as we could, and the thing started lapping our vehicle. He said it was running around the vehicle, and I was like really fast? He goes, no, not like the flash, but it was lapping our vehicle fast, and it was like messing with us. He said at one point it went to the back driver's side, the passenger, the driver's side in the back seat, and started pulling on the door handle. He said it was very big and strong and powerfully built looking thing. It looked like it could just easily
rip the door handle.
Yeah, rip the door handle off. He said, but it's like trying to mess with it. And he said that if I didn't know any better, it was grinning at us, and it got down and it smeared like what looked like blood on its own blood on the window, and then like made like a hissing noise, and blood came out of its mouth, and it got all on the window, and then it went around to the back and lifted up the back of the car and dropped it. And then disappeared into the woods. He's like, we're all sitting there just stunned, and we're screaming and we're hysterical. He goes, and none of our phones are working. We can't call. At that point, we were like, to heck with it. We were trying to call 911, you know, and the driver didn't care anymore about a DWI. So he started trying to dial 911. And he goes, all that would happen is it would just say 911, but it wouldn't make the call. And he's like, so what are we doing? We're just trapped here with this thing, you know. And he goes, dude, I mean, you know, and he goes, back then, you know, the phones were, they could take pictures. So the guy in the back took like 2 or 3, tried to snap pictures or whatever, but it was all of the pictures came out and just looked like blurry, not blurry, but like black, you know, just like dark. And then like the one photo that looked like something just looks like a big smear. I mean, it doesn't look like anything to me, but it didn't look like anything.
Because it's just running.
Yeah, it's just running around. And he said that then their phones all went out. So whatever this thing was it was some sort of supernatural creature, in my opinion. And it had some sort of ability because the car eventually just died. And I wondered, you know, if their phone's going dead, then the car's going dead. Now, the car, of course, sustained damage.
Hmm.
It hit that thing pretty hard going like, you know, 60, 70 miles an hour, whatever. And they were lucky to be alive, you know, and the guy in the back.
Lucky the car didn't flip.
Yeah, and the car didn't flip. And the good thing was they actually wearing seatbelts. So that was important. And they didn't flip, yeah. But they said that he was pretty sure that one of the tires was like rubbing against the wheel well and there was a lot of damage. So then this thing gets up out of the ditch again. Like it goes into the it pops up out of the ditch.
Yeah, it leaves and it comes back.
Yeah, it leaves and it comes back. And he said at this point it goes and it stands right in front of their vehicle and just sat there staring at him. And he said at that point it just like took both arms and like came down and boom, hit the hood of the vehicle, popping the hood backwards. You know, up backwards. Mm-hmm. And he was like, dude, it was incredible. This thing had so much strength. And then he said that at that, and then it went and it grabbed what he described was like a small tree trunk and like started pushing their vehicle into the road, into the middle of the road. And then at that point, they're in the middle of the road and they see headlights and they're like, oh God, thank goodness. Somebody's driving. You know, they're coming. This thing throws the log down or piece of wood, whatever. And just nonchalantly walks back off the road and into the woods. And the car just goes around him and goes right by him and just keeps going. Doesn't try to stop. Doesn't try to help or do anything. It's just like, oh, some people frantically screaming for help in a car. Let me just drive by.
They saw a horror movie. They're like, oh, not on my watch.
And it's like, not my monkeys, not my circus, sorry. And so they just left them there to be devoured by the wolfman or whatever, you know. but it was pretty messed up, you know, and he told me that it was a terrifying night, but he said that was it. After that vehicle came, the thing never came back out and they waited till daytime and there eventually the next vehicle came right there in the morning in the daytime because it was almost daylight and they were like, hey, we're in the middle of the road and they slowed down and looked at us and it was a guy and his daughter. And they were like, are y'all okay? And he goes, luckily, we looked like young enough, you know, innocent kids enough that that guy was like, said, one of y'all can go with me and we'll take, you know, whatever. So he took one of them and they went to the you know, next closest spot, whatever. And he got cell service and, you know, they called the tow truck and they got out of there.
I wonder how the fight for that was, like which one wanted to go with him. And which one wanted to stay behind in case it came back.
You know, and you're in the middle of the road. And you know, and so when the day came, then they started trying, they pushed the car off to the side of the road, you know. But yeah, he said that it was nightmarish. And he said that he's had nightmares ever since that incident's happened.
Yeah.
And one of the nightmares, this is weird, this guy comes into his room, sits down in his bed, and starts talking about how could you just hit me in your car? Starts telling him this. Like, this is a dream, okay? But he said a guy comes and goes, how could you just hit me in your car and just act like, you know, that was okay? And he goes, what are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, right outside of Kerrville, you hit me in your car. A guy was telling him that in the dream. And just then he woke up and was like, what the heck was that? And he said he still remembers the guy's features. He said he had very angular-looking features, and he had, like, this really sharp looking haircut. He was well dressed, you know, whatever. But he thinks, I don't know if it was just a dream coming out of my psyche or if it meant anything or, you know, whatever. He didn't know. And
his brain trying to make sense of it somehow.
Maybe trying to make sense. Yeah. Or, I mean, who knows? Yeah. I mean, what that could have been. It's just a weird thing. I know I had dreams for years after my encounter.
I can definitely understand the dog man's point of view this time.
Well, it's kind of weird because it actually, like, according to him, it stopped in the middle of the road, like, and kind of slowed down, like, letting them hit it. Yeah. And he says that it was weird because he felt like at any time it could have yanked them out of there and just ate them.
Do you think it was a scam? Like, it was, you know how, like, people pretend to get hit by cars so that they could sue? Like this dog was doing some kind of, this dog man was doing a scam. Like it wasn't like, rubbing off blood. It was putting on blood.
Yeah. And it's not even hurt.
Yeah.
It's like, supernatural, you know?
Now I have valid reason to bully you guys or attack you guys.
Exactly. And take your energy.
Yeah.
You know, he did say though, like it sobered him up pretty quick. I mean, you know, but he said that it was also very draining. Sure
it's the last time he drank and drove though.
Well, or he wasn't technically driving, but yeah.
He like, drank in the car, yeah.
One of the things he told me was that they all three, when they went home, that they all slept for 24 hours. He said, every one of them. He goes, it's weird. He goes, a couple of days later, we went to go eat. And he goes, and my girlfriend at the time was friends with my friend's wife, you know, and all four of us went to eat dinner. And the guy that was in the back seat wasn't with them. And he said that they talked about it. And he goes, I slept all day until the next day. She says, I did too. And it's just a weird thing, you know? And he said that it never, and then he goes to this day, like when he tell me, he goes, me and him have never talked about it again. I've never talked to either one of them about it. You know, we just call it that night. You know, it was just that night, you know? And he said that he was the only one that continued to finish that job in Kerrville. He went back with a couple other friends. He told them the story, and they were just like, "Oh, yeah, whatever."
Great story,
fascinating, you know. But
very dudeish, both those things.
Yeah,
absolutely. Only talking about it the one time, and then just kind of ignoring it.
Well, here's a weird sidelight to that. His future girlfriend, not the one he was with at the time, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. Let me read that. But he said that he had a. He had a girlfriend that had a dogman encounter. Her encounter happened in Denison, Texas, right outside of Denison, Texas. And you know where that's at because it's on the way to
the casino.
Yeah. We go through there when we go to Choctaw. And like I said, we have a friend that's a tribal police up there. And he's told us some weird stories around Lake Texoma. But this was, you know, near the Red River. It's actually the home of President Dwight D. Eisenhower. He was born there, Denison, Texas. And so anyway, they're driving along. It's not a real long encounter or story, whatever. And they see this thing walking along the side of the road. And at the last minute, it darts out in front of their vehicle. And it just looked like it was walking on two legs and it looked gray. And then it just darted out in front of their vehicle and jumped at the last second and like on all fours and looked like a wolf.
Was it like it jumped out of the way?
No, it jumped across the road at the last minute, which I thought was weird. He goes, you know, we were eating dinner. He goes, we were just literally sitting at a Chili's talking, you know, and he goes, it was like our second or third date. And this is the woman he ended up being with, Marion. And he's like, and he goes, it's really weird. He's heard me talk about me and Nellie both having had experiences and happened in the same year too. Hers was like in I guess the summer or something. Mine was in October. And so he was talking about this. He said that me and my girlfriend started talking and he goes, and at that time, that wasn't really his girlfriend. They were dating. And he says something really weird happened to me and my friends one night. And they were talking about, because they were talking about going to the Kerrville Folk Festival, you know, the folk festival.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was like, yeah, me and my friends had something really weird happen outside of Kerrville one time. And he told her, she goes, what was it? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. So later on, they were bowling. And she got him to open up, and he said, okay. So he told her the story. Well, that's when she was like, oh, my gosh. She said, dude, all the blood drained out of her face. And she sat down, and she was like, I feel dizzy almost. He goes, why? She goes, because something similar like that happened to me when I was like 13. When me and my mom and dad and my sister were driving through Denison, Texas, right outside of Denison, we saw this thing, like, and she told him the story and what it looked like and everything, you know, and it was similar to what he saw, but it wasn't the same exactly. But he said that it was just the odds. What are the odds, you know, that they meet like that? And so he's like, dude, it was like after that, we just kind of, you know,
I'm not saying like this guy definitely doesn't seem like they talked about it to a lot of people. So like the odds that you open up to someone who has almost kind of a similar encounter to you, except maybe a better one because you managed to hit him or hit the creature while she managed to get away from it.
Yeah. So when she was a kid in the back seat.
Yeah, you know, that's even worse.
Yeah, so. She said her and her mom were on the passenger side and they were like, oh my gosh. And her sister looked over and saw it too. And the dad just kind of glanced and then it ran in front of him. He goes, holy you know, whatever. And it jumped, you know.
What would be better, to see it as a kid or grown up? Like, you know, to be able to forget it.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't think. I guess I was a teenager when I saw Mines. I guess, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to see it as a kid, a teenager, or an adult.
Yeah.
But I guess as a kid, it's harder.
You might forget it.
Might forget, because some people, there it goes.
Or you might be able to like change it up in your head so that it becomes something less, you
terrifying.
Horrifying.
Well, I had a friend. Well, I mean, I'm not a friend, but I met him. He's a friend on Facebook, but I met him through the groups, or whatever. But he gave me a shark encounter he had where a shark like came really close to him and like. He was under the water for a second, and he saw it open its mouth. It was a bull shark, and he said it lunged right at him, and he moved at the last second, and he scraped up against it, and it messed up his arm. And he said he thinks it might have been a bull shark, and he wasn't for sure. And then he just took off swimming, and then his friend started screaming, and he looked back, and it was following him.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's all cut up now.
Yeah, and it wasn't very deep water. He said he got out of there real quick. But he said that it was like, you know, it veered off, whatever. But he goes that his dogman encounter was more terrifying than the shark encounter.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that story.
Well,
one day.
I mean, like in the water, I would be like, okay, like I'm not like I would expect for if something bad was going to happen for me to not be in my element.
Yeah,
but if you're driving down the road with your friends. Having a good old time. Yeah.
Drinking some Dos Equis, and next thing you know, you're like...
Dos Equis, and all of a sudden you got in a car accident, and this thing is trying to chase you. It's not even trying to hurt you. It's just it's like a...
Well, that's the thing. It was like
or something.
Yeah.
It was like this build-up. Kutcher was about to jump out.
I mean, and then nothing. You know, it just... But he honestly, though, he thinks that it was messing with him, getting... What he told me was like, he did some research. He said, you know... He thinks that in his he has a theory that he told me. We postulated on it. It's like he asked me. He's like, "What if this thing was just building up our fear? You know what I mean? And then it was going to kill us.
Yeah.
Once it got us afraid to a certain point.
Like similar, you know? How we do the shape to make them pacify so that the meat doesn't.
Yeah. You know,
just like it's just the opposite way. Like some kind of scary Freddy Krueger or
I mean,
or
yeah,
scary
he said it was like it was trying to terrify them, and he really thought that it was going to kill them, but that vehicle that drove by, even though it didn't stop, kind of spooked it and got it off the road.
Oh, I feel like it was still like, it would just move out the way and then watch them to see what happened first, if it was really trying to do that.
Luckily, it was close to dawn.
Yeah. You know? I feel like if it was actually trying to hurt them, I think it would have stayed and keep an eye on them to see what would happen. But I think it was more like, oh, okay, I've had enough. Like, I've messed with these guys enough. I can just go ahead and go.
You think it was feeding on their fear?
No, I think it was just my favorite stories, and I'm not saying this because you know, it's horrifying when anyone meet dogmen, but my favorite stories have always been the dogmen that seem kind of bored, where they do actions where it's just like, what the heck was that?
And it does happen.
It does happen, and it's just
like they're just lazy or something.
Or just like trying to pass the time or something. It's just like, what the heck? Like they do weird actions where like, you know, they could have avoided it if they wanted to, but they purposely tried to do it to get some kind of reaction out of people.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a case of that or if this is a case of them, you know, this dog man was happy. It got some canned food just pulled up to it. So,
yeah. So to me, and folks, we're going to do this again next week. Those were, you know, a couple stories, but they were longer stories, of course, you know. And a lot more involved.
Quite good stories.
Yeah, but I mean, they were. I mean, good not for the people that it happened to.
No,
I mean, I'm not saying, you know.
It's never good for it to happen to.
I mean, you know, when we talk to the people from the Hernandez, we're not. Hey, tell us those creepy stories. We just, you know, we like to hear about you being scared.
Yeah.
You know, we're not happy about it. I'm sensitive like that. Well, yeah, but I mean, but it's, you know, but what can you do? I mean, you can't. You know, we've eaten dinner with people who've told the stories, and.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. I mean, you just tell them, oh, that's horrible. I feel bad for you.
Every
I mean,
situation that you meet a dog man in is probably going to be terrifying. But seeing a dog man running across the street is going to be a lot better than having a dog man stalk you and try to, you know, hurt you. So
throw things at your house and stick its head through the screen and everything else. Yeah. So, folks, that's all the time we have for tonight. Remember, Tuesday is the live stream. And, you never know who's going to pop in. We have all kinds of guests, all kinds of authors and researchers and experiencers. And we have, authors, researchers, experiencers. What else could we possibly call these people?
just experts of,
you know other podcasters, you know, people that'll come in and they'll talk about their stories or their research or whatever. And you never know what direction the live stream is going to take. Come on, be a part of the live stream. Join us for the live chat. Now, if you miss it, you can always go in the archives of YouTube and check it out. But I'll see you guys on Tuesday. And don't forget, next Friday, it's Dogman again.
Yep.
And then
Dogman back to back.
Yep, back to back. So thank you for listening and continue to be loyal listeners and members of PRT's family.
Love the support. Always will.
The paratroopers. All right, guys. We'll see you. Good night.